You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at wicn.org. Good evening, I'm Al Vohner, and this is this week's edition of The Public Eye. So nice to have you with us. Well, once again, I have to admit, I am indeed probably WICN's resident U.S. history buff, and came across a really terrific book. It's a book about a gentleman who was governor of Massachusetts, worked alongside President Abraham Lincoln and President Ulysses S. Grant. And yet, his name does not resonate with anybody, unless you're really a historian or someone who's had the opportunity to pick up the book. His name was George Boutwell, born right here in central Massachusetts. And for the next half hour, we'll be talking with the author, Jeffrey Boutwell, who is a distant relation to George. And thank God that Jeff brought forward and shed some light on an amazing historical figure. And again, I don't know why his name doesn't resonate more, especially after being governor of Massachusetts and all the other accomplishments. But for the next half hour, we'll be talking with Jeffrey Boutwell about the book and the life and times of George S. Boutwell. Jeff, nice to have you with us.
Hi, Al. Lovely to be here.
This is, you know, as I said in the opening, you know, if nothing else, I mean, the book Boutwell, Radical Republican and Champion of Democracy, certainly covers what George was all about. But how is it that a gentleman that was governor of Massachusetts, let alone everything else that he did, but just the fact that he was one of the governors here in Massachusetts, mid-1800s, his name doesn't resonate. I mean, you pick up a history book and you read so many names, especially in New England. The original colonies were up here. How did he not get noticed up until now?
It's a very, very strange story, and it's one that's taken essentially my whole lifetime to understand. As you say, Al, no one's ever heard of George Boutwell, or very few people. And my Boutwell family lived in the Boston area near where George was born. We're Boutwells. We should have known about him. My father never mentioned him as I was growing up. Only because I was a history buff like you are did I begin to see his name occasionally in histories of the Civil War or the Reconstruction era or the Spanish-American War. So little by little, I'm figuring out, hey, George was the youngest ever governor of Massachusetts in the 1850s. He then became Abraham Lincoln's commissioner of revenue during the Civil War. He then went into Congress, where he was very important in shaping both the 14th and 15th Amendments to the Constitution, about which we hear so much today. He became a good friend of Ulysses Grant. Grant appointed George as his Secretary of the Treasury for 4 years in 1869, and then George finished in the U.S. Senate in the 1870s. Even that wasn't the length of his career. At the end of the Spanish-American War in 1898, he was asked to become president of what was known as the Anti-Imperialist League to oppose America's physical occupation and annexation of the Philippines by William McKinley and Teddy Roosevelt. Now, that was a really kind of diverse group of very, very significant figures that George worked with. They included Mark Twain, the famous American humorist, mm-hmm. Andrew Carnegie, the steel magnate, Jane Addams from Hull House in Chicago, W.E.D. Du Bois, the black nationalist leader. A number of Americans were protesting this kind of first American venture into imperialism. So all of those things, 65 years in politics, working with some of the most important presidents in the country, but no one's ever heard of George. Well, it's a long introduction, but then I'll say, why haven't they? George was considered for many years by American historians to be on the wrong side of history. Partly that was his association with Ulysses Grant. As most people know, Grant was considered a terrible, terrible president for 100 years. He was described as a drunkard, and he was corrupt and naive and inept. Well, it's only in the last 20, 25 years that historical interpretation has been changing with new biographies of Grant, especially by people like Ron Chernow, the guy who wrote the book on Hamilton, giving Grant a much more positive review, and given that George was so closely associated with Grant, George is been getting more positive reviews as well.
You're exactly right. I was amazed because I've read on biographies of Ulysses S. Grant. First of all, the general that helped win, in fact, the main general of the Northern armies, under President Lincoln, and he's finally getting his due. But it's amazing. Your book brought to light so many facts that have been, for whatever reason, and I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, but for some reason, was swept under the carpet and it just coming to light. But as it relates to George, the fact that he was governor of Massachusetts and then, as you said, served in Congress all those years and was really well respected by peers. Now, I'm not saying that, every time they got on the floor of the House or the Senate, that everybody cheered and clapped. But the fact of the matter is that I think that he put forward, he was a instrumental in putting forward civil rights, working on behalf of civil rights, leveling the playing field to make sure that average citizens, got their due, especially during Reconstruction. But again, I don't ever remember a book. I don't remember a documentary. So thank God that you wrote the book and brought this all to light. But most importantly, after researching the book, putting it all together, it's finally out there and published. What are you most proud of about George Boutwell?
Before I do answer that, let me mention one other reason that I mentioned in the book for why he was ignored and dismissed for so long. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Massachusetts folks especially George came from a very modest farming family. His father started off as a manager of a farm. He finally earned enough money to buy his own farm. They lived in Lunenburg. George grew up in Lunenburg from the age of 2 until about 15, when he then moved to Groton, Mass, and started working in a dry goods store. So George comes from a very modest farming family, and he carried that with him through his entire political career. Well, in Massachusetts especially, when you have the Boston Brahmins and the royal, political royalty of Cabots and Lodges and Adams and Kennedys and whatever, many of them look down their noses at George. Mm. George never went to college, never went to law school. He didn't go beyond the 6th grade in a common school. He was self-educated, just like Lincoln. He would read until 2 o'clock in the morning after working in the dry goods store. So modest background, self-educated. But because of that, he was disdained and dismissed by a lot of the elite kind of Boston historians and society members for much of his career. So that's another reason why he's kind of been lost to history. What have I been most proud of in terms of the research I did? A number of things, certainly for what he made of himself because of those modest upbringings. I like to say that he's like Lincoln in being self-educated. He's like Ulysses Grant in being an incredibly modest character. Grant never trumpeted his own accomplishments, either as a Civil War general or as president. He was kind of shy and retiring in society. He was not kind of an extrovert commanding the room when he would walk into it. George was very much the same. George just, and if you'll excuse the Bill Belichick quote, George just did his job. He didn't worry about getting the fame for it. He didn't worry about what the guy next to him in the offensive line was doing. He just did his job, whether it was revenue commissioner for Lincoln, secretary of the treasury for Grant, or in Congress. So that kind of is one of the things I'm incredibly proud of. The other one, and this was a total revelation, the very close relationship he developed with Ulysses Grant. He and Grant knew each other for 21 years, from when they first met in 1864 until Grant died in 1885. And they were so close that George was asked by the family to be one of the pallbearers in Ulysses Grant's funeral in August of 1885. There was a public funeral on the streets of New York that was witnessed by 1.5 million people. Mm. The funeral cortege, it was 7 miles long from lower Manhattan up to Riverside Park, where, of course, Grant is buried today in Grant's tomb. George was one of the pallbearers. He rode in a carriage immediately behind the coffin going up through the streets of New York. And that just epitomized the incredibly close relationship they had.
You know, Jeff, with, you know, adding to what you just said, is I got done with the book and you hit it right on the head, is the fact I'm thinking if there were anyone else in that position at that time. We come out of the Civil War. Reconstruction was first and foremost. We had to bring the country back together. There was still a lot of dissension between the North and the South. Slavery was still an extremely sensitive topic. And yet George, and I think it's because he was so simple in terms of his approach. He wasn't looking for glory. He really understood the common man and woman. And because of that, I think there was no better advocate at that time. And as you said, working alongside, Abraham Lincoln and Ulysses S. Grant, the country could have gone in so many different directions. I truly believe that after reading your book, that George Boutwell was one of the real cornerstones in keeping everything on track, enabling this country to get beyond the Civil War and then move forward. All the more reason why, his name should shine. There should be a plaque, not only here in Massachusetts, but certainly down in Washington as well, as one of those who contributed to all of this. Yeah. Let's go back to the beginning again, though. What was the main motivation for writing the book?
I've always loved history and I love politics. I was a public policy specialist, quote unquote, for my entire career, working on different issues. So when I retired about a little over 10 years ago, I kind of threw myself back into some things that I hadn't been able to do in my professional life, and certainly American history was one of them. It was interesting, Al. I started off, I'd always wanted to do a kind of a short essay about George, just to learn a little bit about him and let my family know about him. But as you can well understand, the more I looked into him, the more I thought, my God, there's more here than needs an essay. It needs a full-length book. And I was so lucky that so many of his papers were located in Massachusetts, of course. And now I live in Maryland now. I moved to the Mid-Atlantic a long time ago, but I made numerous trips up to Massachusetts, even the American Antiquarian Society in Worcester.
Right here in Worcester,
Has papers of George's, but mainly in at the Groton Historical Society's main center. Is called the Governor Boutwell House on Main Street in Groton. It's been there for 150 years. People can go visit it. It's open several days a week. I encourage them to do so, to just see how George and his family lived in Groton, where he lived for 70 years. He built that house in 1851. He died in that house in 1905. He was a farmer. He had a 300-acre farm out the back of the house, where he raised cattle and vegetables and grafted fruit trees and whatnot. So George was very much, as you say, a man of the people. He first started off running for local office, and then that kind of catapulted him up into Massachusetts politics and then national politics.
Yeah, just an amazing story. I want to just take a quick pause to remind our listeners that you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Voner, and this is this week's edition of The Public Eye. I'm joined by author Jeffrey Boutwell. His new book is Boutwell, Radical Republican and Champion of Democracy. And the book is a biography about a distant relative, George S. Boutwell, who was not only governor of Massachusetts, but served in the Congress of the United States during Reconstruction, alongside Abraham Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant, and a host of others, and really was a pinnacle figure in the Reconstruction shortly after the Civil War. And finally, because of Jeff Boutwell's research and efforts, bringing to light the life and times of George S. Boutwell. Jeff, another thing that stuck out, and I truly believe this now, and I think you alluded to it, but I'll let you take it from there. But Abraham Lincoln, Ulysses S. Grant, as you said, came from extremely humble beginnings. Yet in American history, today they stand as two of the greatest. Obviously, George is as simple as he was, as you said, no formal education, didn't rub shoulders, with the rich, powerful, and wealthy, and yet they relied on him like no other person, right?
Mm-hmm. Especially in Congress. George was very much a coalition builder. He loved to bring people together who might have differing viewpoints and get them to work constructively together. And that was really shown in his involvement in drafting and enacting both the 14th and 15th Amendments to the Constitution. 14th Amendment, of course, defined citizenship and equality under the law. The 15th Amendment gave voting rights to blacks in the South. And those were still very contentious issues at the time, as they are today, things like birthright citizenship. George worked on that amendment, and now we find, controversy over birthright citizenship going on today. The Supreme Court has even said they're going to be looking at the issue on May 15th because Trump wants to revoke birthright citizenship for many Americans, Americans that George helped give citizenship to. Anyway, he helped bring different people together to implement those amendments, and they've stood the test of time for 170 years. And you ask, things that I'm especially proud of, certainly his work in establishing, essentially, what he did was take the principles of the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and he put them into the Constitution in the form of the 14th and 15th Amendments. And that would be something that really needed to be done because, of course, before the Civil War, protections for American citizens had really been confined to whites, not to blacks, not to Asian Americans, not to immigrants. He helped expand those rights to all Americans.
It's amazing that, you and I remember the 60s, very tumultuous time, civil rights, rioting, college campus. I mean, I shouldn't make it sound like there's nothing going on today. There certainly is. But, George Boutwell was an advocate, a voice, and clearly a figure, a public figure who stood up against a lot of adversarial beliefs at the time and probably set the tone for much of what has taken place since then. In fact, I have to read, because I think this is a great kind of a subtitle that came with the liner notes for the book. George S. Boutwell, the most consequential American political figure you've never heard of. And it's true. But when you get done reading the book, though, Jeff, and I want to get your sense on this, when you get done reading the book, especially if you're from New England and like myself from central Massachusetts, his birthplace was just a few miles north of Worcester. So, it really rings, it comes home is what I'm trying to say. But the fact of the matter is that I think going back again to that simplistic, that simple lifestyle that didn't come from privilege. So he could understand all facets of life and many individuals at a time when others didn't look at it that way. So I really believe he set the tone. But I want to get your sense on that.
It was his background. His father was a farmer. His mother was from Hollis, New Hampshire. And she was kind of the intellectual inspiration for George. He had two brothers and two sisters, all of whom worked on the farm out there in Lunenburg for many years. But imagine this, for a guy who essentially he was a New England workaholic. He worked until 87 years old when he died in bed. He
Wow.
was still writing, still speaking, still protesting America's annexation of the Philippines. He hardly ever took a vacation. He never traveled abroad. George never left the United States. And at the time, 1870s and 80s, a lot of folks, especially well-to-do politicians, are going off to Europe for 6 months or whatever. Mm-hmm. Not George. He just, he kept his nose to the grindstone and knew that there were important issues to attend to. Now, some people could say that was part of his personality, which was, again, kind of a flinty New Englander, not the most endearing of characters necessarily, just because he wasn't, he wasn't a social butterfly. He didn't like to hobnob with politicians. He loved his family, his daughter especially. That's one of the things I'm proud of in the book, revealing a beautiful relationship that George had with his eldest daughter, Georgiana, who lived with him in Washington for many years, was his political aide, essentially, who was a wonderful writer in her own sense, and then joined a lot of public boards in the end of her life and advocated for women's suffrage. So George was just a real family man who family and politics were his two main loves, and agriculture.
I'm so glad you brought to light Georgiana, because you're exactly right. She adored her father and vice versa. She worked alongside him. And in fact, as you said, when they attended many of the functions in Washington, you got the sense that, you know, there was a lot of elitism. And I think, you know, she helped keep him grounded and vice versa. But she really was a shining star for him at a time when women didn't hold those kinds of positions. And she in her own right, kind of set the tone, I think, for or inspiration for a lot of women. But it was a unique relationship that this simple man had achieved so much, and then to have the to have that camaraderie with his daughter, and they both worked well together. It wasn't like, you know, I'm not going to agree with my father, I'm going to make a scene, blah blah blah. It wasn't like that at all. I mean, they just respected each other. There was a true mutual love there. All the more reason why the book is so endearing. There's so many facets to it, right?
Yeah. And let me mention a quick story, one of my favorites from the book. And Georgiana had a wonderful close relationship as well with Ulysses S. Grant, as her father did. And she knew Grant for as long as George did. They both met Grant in March of 1864, when Abraham Lincoln brought Grant from the Western Theater to Washington to give him his lieutenant general's promotion. Big reception at the White House. Georgiana and George are both there. 21 years later, 1885, Georgie is so close to, on her own right, to Ulysses Grant, she stops off to see him in New York. April of 1885, Grant is dying of cancer. He's got terrible throat cancer. He spends most of his time upstairs writing his memoirs. He's in real pain. She comes unannounced one Friday evening, I think it was, to his brownstone on East 66th Street and to visit him. And she is told by the family that Ulysses is really sick. There's a good chance, you know, he won't be able to come downstairs. He hears her from upstairs and makes his way down because he doesn't want to miss her visit.
Wow.
And he spends 2 hours talking with her before she goes on her way. That was April of 1885. He dies 2 months later, 3 months later in July. And she just had that kind of wonderful, warm relationship with, you know, one of the most famous Americans who's ever lived.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think if it were anyone else, he would have remained upstairs in his bed. But he had such respect and felt so such an attachment to Georgiana, which says a lot about the family, both George and Georgiana, in how they, you know, how they portrayed themselves and how they interacted with one another. We've got just a couple of moments left. So I want to ask real quickly, the book. Boutwell, Radical Republican and Champion of Democracy, is widely available now. But you were updating me too that there's I want to talk a little bit quickly about the museum or the birthplace that where people can visit, right?
Yep, it's the Governor Boutwell House right on Main Street in Groton, Mass. You can't miss it driving through town. George built that house for his family in 1851. Lived in it for 70 years. He dies in 1905. Georgie, of course, is still alive. She lives until 1933. And when she dies, she gives the house to the Groton Historical Society. Thank God she did, because that's the only reason all of his papers and all of their papers have been preserved, that it stayed either in the family or the Groton Historical Society. But I really urge people to look it up and go visit it. Groton, of course, is a lovely town in its own right. There's the new Groton Hill Music Center there, wonderful concerts. Groton School and Lawrence Academy are both in Groton. So it's a nice day trip, but make sure you see the Governor Boutwell House in Groton.
Jeff, you just made WICN very, very proud, because WICN partners with the venue up in Groton in helping to promote. And you're right, the music is fantastic. The artists that go through there are fantastic. So all the more reason to visit Groton. One, the Boutwell Museum. You can find out everything about George Boutwell, the family, and his legacy here. Jeff, real quickly, if people want to reach out to you directly, how might they do that?
Sure. I will mention the book is widely available, as you say, Barnes & Noble stores across the country, your independent bookstores, many of them will have it. My website is www.jeffreyboutwell.com, JeffreyBoutwell.com. You get all the information you need about me, about George, from the website. And, you know, even if you take the book out of the library, that's just as good. Support our local libraries and learn about a really important Massachusetts and national figure.
Absolutely. I mean, the book, Boutwell, Radical Republican and Champion of Democracy, is a great read, especially for a history buff. But it's about a local historic figure who went so far, governor of Massachusetts, and then into the U.S. Congress at a very difficult time in this country's history. All the more reason, just to peruse, as Jeff talked about, the museum. And the papers that are up there, just a great historical figure. If you have any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. I certainly welcome that. That's Al Vona at WICN.org. For the public eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in.